I want to send you this line to tell you how pleased I am with the changes you made in Gabriel over the White House, Roosevelt wrote a month into office. I think it is an intensely interesting picture and should do much to help. Ever since, Hollywood has been equally eager to help liberal causes and politicians. The movie Dave, starring Kevin Kline as a big-hearted populist who was asked to impersonate a stricken, conservative president and engineers a socially conscious coup d'etat, is merely an updating of the same premise. The liberal fascist bargain. Today we still live under the fundamentally fascistic economic system established by Wilson and FDR. We do live in an unconscious civilization of fascism, albeit of a friendly sort infinitely more benign than that of Hitler's Germany, Mussolini's Italy, or FDR's America. This is the system I call liberal fascism. Just because business thrives under capitalism doesn't mean businessmen are necessarily principled capitalists. Businessmen, at least those at the helm of very large corporations, do not like risk, and capitalism by definition requires risk. Capital must be put to work in a market where nothing is assured. But businessmen are, by nature and training, encouraged to beat back uncertainty and risk. Hence, as a group, they aren't principled capitalists but opportunists in the most literal sense. Most successful businessmen would prefer not to bother with politics. For years, both Walmart and Microsoft boasted that they had no interest in Washington. Microsoft's chief, Bill Gates, bragged that he was from the other Washington, and he basically had one lonely lobbyist hanging around the nation's capital. Gates changed his mind when the government nearly destroyed his company. The Senate Judiciary Committee invited him to Washington, D.C., to atone for his success, and the senators, in the words of the New York Times, took a kind of giddy delight in making the wealthiest man in America squirm in his seat. In response, Gates hired an army of consultants, lobbyists, and lawyers to fight off the government. In the 2000 presidential election, Walmart ranked 771st in direct contributions to federal politicians. In the intervening years, unions and regulators began to drool over the enormous target the mega retailer had become. In 2004, Walmart ranked as the single largest corporate political action committee. In 2006, it launched an unprecedented voter education drive. There's a special irony to the example of Walmart. One of the Nazis' most salient political issues was the rise of the department store. They even promised in the 1920 party platform to take over the Walmarts of their day.